Hello, and welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I'm Nita. The US attack on Venezuela and the kidnapping of the president Nicolas Maduro and First Lady Celia Flores are the culmination of years of imperialist intervention against the state of Venezuela and its historic Bolivarian Revolution. Today on the show, we will turn our focus to Venezuela in an interview conducted by Black Agenda Radio's Margaret Kimberly with Corina Mullen, who sheds light on the situation and discusses the importance of anti-imperialist mobilization in solidarity with the Venezuelan people.
You are listening to Black Agenda Radio. I'm Margaret Kimberly. On January 3rd, after months of airstrikes on small boats off the coast of Venezuela and claims that President Nicolas Maduro is a quote-unquote narco-terrorist, the Trump administration attacked the capital Caracas and other cities, killing 80 people and kidnapping President Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores. After their abduction, the president and first lady were taken to New York City, where they were formally charged on a politically motivated indictment, all in violation of U.S. and international law. Corina Mullen joins us from New York City to provide analysis. She is an anti-imperialist scholar and organizer with groups such as the Anti-Imperialist Scholars Collective. She's on the secretariat of the U.S. Peace Council. She also organizes with Labor for Palestine, CUNY for Palestine, and she is a delegate of the PSC CUNY Union.
Thank you so much, Margaret. It's really an honor to be here with you.
You are so knowledgeable about Venezuela. There's so much to say about events of the last few days. We're speaking on January 7th, but let's give background about U.S.-Venezuela relations, the history of U.S. interference and intervention in Venezuela. Let's start talking about that.
Sure. Yeah. And I should say, you know, I think it's really important to have this sort of long durée perspective. I myself have been to Venezuela several times, including with the International People's Tribunal on U.S. imperialism, sanctions, economic unilateral coercive measures and blockades. And we did a fact-finding mission to Venezuela in 2023, and then was there again for the elections as an observer. So we were there together. And, you know, I think that was a really important delegation because we really got to see the impact of sanctions on Venezuela. And this is about not only, as many people are talking about, the U.S.'s attempt to dominate and control Venezuela's resources, its vast oil reserves, and also the financial, the flows of capital, a flow from the sale of oil, as well as forms of domination. But really, it's also about punishing the Venezuelan people, right, for choosing the path of the Bolivarian Socialist Revolution. And we got to see some of that, for example, by visiting El Panal, one of the important communes in Caracas. And the Venezuelans were being punished for their assertion of sovereignty, for the nationalization of their oil reserves, and for using the surplus value, the wealth gained from those resources, to invest in social projects, to invest in, you know, life-affirming institutions and things like free community-based healthcare, eliminating or they achieved, you know, the reduction of poverty. I think extreme poverty was reduced by 70% in the first few years of the Bolivarian Socialist Revolution, and also the fostering of tens of thousands of communal councils and communes, you know, these grassroots bodies where communities legislate, administer resources, manage their own means of production. So, you know, challenging, this is a real material challenge to the imperialist drain of wealth from Venezuela, you know, which historically had occurred before, prior to Chavez coming to power. So, you know, really, I think it's important to remember that this is both an economic and political war because of the alternative development and political project represented by the Bolivarian Revolution. You know, and that's why this has been really a bipartisan hybrid warfare against Venezuela. And it didn't just start under Trump. Of course, it has escalated under Trump, but it goes back really to Obama. And you know, the foundation, he really laid the foundation for what we're, are seeing today with the illegal invasion, hostage taking, criminal hostage taking of the president and first lady of Venezuela, the killing of security forces, of civilians, the criminal bombing and attacks on ships off of the Venezuelan coast, killing over 100 working class people. You know, all of this goes back to 2015, right? That was when Obama first issued an executive order declaring Venezuela an unusual and extraordinary threat. And that really paved the way for the economic siege warfare against the country. And that, gets accelerated under Trump, the first Trump administration, 2017 to 21, where, he also, that this sort of maximum pressure economic warfare against Venezuela, where he weaponized really, control over, and this is what sanctions regimes do, over the U.S. domination of the global financial system through the SWIFT and, dollar clearing, in order to enact a blockade, banning oil exports, imports of medicine and food. And we know, and we saw the impact, Margaret, of, remember when we visited the hospitals, seeing the impact that it had on the healthcare system, for example. Over 40,000 people died as a result of sanctions-induced medicine and food shortages. Oil revenues fell by 99%. And that led to the collapse of GDP, I think, by over 80%, and crazy levels of hyperinflation, like 130,000%. So it's important to remember that all of this was prior to this escalation to kinetic war, and that maximum pressure caused immense suffering, and it was designed to create social unrest, to create divisions, to exacerbate internal contradictions, to achieve regime change through economic warfare. And when that didn't work, because the population stood behind the Bolivarian Revolution, the masses supported this process, the commune supported Maduro, the elections that I was also a part of observing, which were, free and fair, and showed that the population still stood behind Maduro. When all, because they failed to achieve through economic means, regime change, they had to resort to this brute imperialist gangsterism. And that's what we're seeing today.
It was very interesting. For months now, as you point out, there've been attacks on these small boats, claiming these tiny boats were bringing drugs into the U.S., which obviously was untrue. The South American country most responsible for drug trafficking now is Ecuador, which is an ally of the U.S., which is why you don't hear about it. But this ridiculous notion that these little boats were bringing in drugs to the U.S. But I think it's important that you point out that Obama began with this declaration of Venezuela as a threat. When Trump came in, his maximum pressure campaign, he ratcheted up what Obama began, issued a bounty on Maduro's head. Biden went along, actually increased the amount of the bounty. I think it was up to $50 million. So this is by bipartisan consensus. I think all of that's important to know. But since January 3rd, since this attack on the Venezuelan state and the abduction of the president and first lady, there's been a whirlwind of activity. A lot of folks mobilized very quickly, which was important. But I think we have to talk about the narratives that have come out since then. We see what passes sort of criticism of Trump, but there are people who feel like they have to criticize Venezuela too, or say, well, Maduro's a thug, he's a drug dealer, of which there's no evidence. What do you say to those who cannot seem to bring themselves to condemn the U.S. action, to defend the rights of the people of Venezuela, to have the government of their choosing, these people with a fence straddling, a foot in both camps? What do you say to that?
It's a shame that so many people, I mean, we expect that, from liberals, but I think what's really frustrating is to see that on the left, people who claim to be the left, because this really, it paves the way for it. It normalizes this kind of intervention. because it raises doubts in people's minds about the legitimacy of the Venezuelan state, of the Bolivarian Revolution, of Nicolas Maduro's governance project, of the fact that the people, stand behind and are work, hand in hand with the state. It's not there. This false binary and division, but you can be with the people but not with the state. It's the state that facilitated and enabled, the and worked together to build the communes. And we can see even with the, Maduro's arming of the masses, this the popular militias, the sort of preparing for a people's war, that shows you a leader that is one with the people, that has the backing and the support of the people. And so these sort of false binaries and lefts who think that they are bringing in nuance here, what they're really doing is just muddying the waters at a time when we need to be 100% behind Maduro, 100% behind the Venezuelan state, behind Delcy Rodriguez, the vice president who is now the interim president because of the circumstances of the president being taken hostage and held as a prisoner of war here in the belly of the beast. This is not the time for muddying the waters. We need political clarity. We need to challenge. And also, there are so many, and this is also part of the problem of social media. There are all these self-appointed, claimed analysts who are just constantly, it's all clickbait, right? They're putting out information, much of it false, creating rumors, spreading rumors, and making people doubt the cohesion of the state, of the Venezuelan state. When at a time again when people need to be defending and supporting, the military is to get is it, there's a command and control is in place. It stands with the state. The government is backing, and the people are backing Delcy Rodriguez, and Delcy Rodriguez is with stands with Maduro. This is a cohesive state. And it has the support of the masses. And that's the narrative that we need to keep pushing forward because it's the truth. And all of these diversions on social media, they're just made to create doubt, to cast doubt, so that when it comes time to mobilizing people, to getting people on the street, people will, they can't be bothered, or they'll think, well, maybe this isn't the right thing to do. And that's exactly the point. It's psyops. It's part of an imperialist info war. And we need to resist this. And so, that's why I'm so grateful to programs like yours, Margaret, the work that you do, and other principled journalists to put this narrative forward, because it's so crucial for mobilizing people. And, and I think, I don't know, I'd love to hear your thoughts too, but I think in large part, the people aren't buying it. 70% of the US population is opposed to the war. People are coming out in large numbers to the protests. And this was not, now especially since this horrific imperialist assault on Venezuelan territory and taking the president and first lady hostage, more people have come out. But even in the months leading up, with the attacks on the boats and the the increasing imperialist aggression against Venezuela, we start seeing, there's the Hands Off Venezuela campaign and network. I think over 150 organizations have signed on to a statement calling to defend Venezuela, not just Venezuela's sovereignty, not just calling to release Maduro and First Lady Cilia, but also the right to resist. The right of the statement calls for the right of Venezuela to resist this imperialist aggression. I think that's really crucial. And we see unions, including my own, the PSC CUNY, we put out a resolution. And this was before the direct attack on Venezuelan soil, but nonetheless, it was calling at the time not to attack, to end the economic warfare, and to stop, to prevent the U.S. government, under the criminal Trump regime, but we know this is a ruling class bipartisan affair, to stop it from expanding to the rest of the region, because we know, Cuba is it could be next. Colombia could be next. Nicaragua could be next. And really, this is also, I want to say, connected back, and this is something also that the social, that this the kind of info war on social media, the propaganda, also tries to distort, which is the role, of China and Russia, also casting doubt. And I think it's really crucial to remember that one of the reasons that Venezuela is being targeted in addition to the socialist alternative model of development, using surplus, the wealth gained from the sale of natural resources, to benefit the population. In addition to that, Venezuela has been central to the emergence of a polycentric world order, right? It's really leading in South-South forms of solidarity and economic and military cooperation. Its relations with China, with Russia, that's part of the reason it's being targeted, because the U.S. is trying to shore up its ability to continue, the ruling class to continue accumulating capital in the imperialist core the way it has been for several centuries, and is losing now. It's losing that ability because of the emergence of this polycentric world order, right? So, and Venezuela's role, and its role in ALBA and CELAC, in South-South formations, is part of the reason it's under attack. And I think that's really important to keep putting that forward, because there's a lot of misinformation out there about the role of China, the role of Russia and Venezuela's relations. And ultimately, this I'm hopeful, and I believe that this is a sign of desperation. The U.S. Blatant, imperialist gangsterism is really not a reflection of strength, and regardless of what Trump claims he's doing, this is coming from a reflection of a declining U.S. empire, fearful of these transformations that are taking place, fearful of global South states asserting their sovereignty, their right to self-determination, their right to alternative forms of development, and we need to, here in the belly of the beast, we need to echo that. We need to support not just the right not to be invaded, but the right to develop, and the right to develop and have sovereign relations with other states and other institutions outside of imperialist, white-dominated international financial institutions, international legal institutions. The right to transform the system to reflect the global majority and not the global minority who has dominated, for so long.
I'm glad you touched on China. China buys, as while the U.S. and its allies boycotted Venezuela's oil in an effort to impoverish the state, China stepped in and refines and buys oil from Venezuela. And so we have to point out this is an attack on a multipolar order. And the U.S. has said, while they don't physically have control over the oil fields, that the oil will be sold to the U.S. And this is very funny, but I'm quoting Trump, for the benefit of the people of Venezuela. It'll be for the benefit of U.S. oil companies. But I also wanted to talk about, you mentioned the interim president, Delcy Rodriguez. And I've seen this very unfortunate narrative from people who appeared to be in solidarity, appeared to be on the left, casting doubt about her, some openly saying it was a coup. She betrayed Maduro. There must have been other people who betrayed Maduro. And our view, first of all, cannot be U.S.-centric. The people of Venezuela have spoken. The Venezuelan state has spoken in support of Maduro, are still defiant. But this inclination to look for conspiracies, it's problematic anyway. At a moment like this, it can be very dangerous that people repeat these very serious allegations without any evidence. But I'm finding it to be very prevalent and surprising from some of the people who I would think would know better. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I agree. People should know better, as you said, and not repeat these the lies coming out of the bourgeois media. I mean, it's clearly we know there's a long history of bourgeois media manufacturing consent for imperialist intervention and to demonize any, not just socialist, any form of socialist, but any anti-systemic, any nationalist, any national liberation projects, We know there's a history of that, right? And that's what the media is here to do, because they work hand in hand. It's the political economy of the way that the media is structured here, the ownership of media, and it's the same on social media, right? They also control these spaces, and so they're going to create these divisions. They want to sow confusion and doubt. But we know interim President Delcy Rodriguez was sworn in. The state is stable. The opposition parties united with Maduro's party in defense of the nation, and the people are firmly behind the state. And you see, life is continuing as normal. There's the military and the police, and the armed militias. The masses of people who now have arms, who are sort of popular people's warfare. Similar to what we saw, preparing for the possibility of that, in the same way we saw in Vietnam. This shows you that there is continuity. That there people are not backing down. They are prepared to defend the Bolivarian state of Venezuela. There's not the divisions that people are claiming. We just don't see that. It's a lie, and the lie is there to manufacture consent for ongoing imperialist intervention. And it's not new. The whole narco-terrorist label. These the bogus description, and in someone like Mamdani, for example, who now claims he called Trump, and I'm glad that at least did the bare minimum of condemning the invasion of a sovereign territory of Venezuela, and calling up to complain to Trump. But when the reality is Maduro and First Lady Cilia are being held here in New York, where he is the mayor. But he himself, regardless of, I'm glad that he did that, and he needs to do more to mobilize the population and demand that Maduro and his wife are released as prisoners of war. He himself, in the lead up to the elections for mayor, referred to Maduro as a dictator. All of these democratic leaders who are now condemning the invasion because it happened under Trump, or Hakeem Jeffries saying that because only his only complaint is that Trump didn't consult with Congress, ra rather than on the basis of this being a blatant violation of international law, and a violation of sovereign territory. And that has softened the public for this kind of invasion, because again, it sows confusion, it sows doubt. Maduro is not a dictator. This is a democracy. You saw for yourself. Anyone who's been to Venezuela can see that. People who are anti-imperialists, who consider themselves on the left, need to stay focused.
You mentioned Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader in the House. Who he what he said was even worse. He even said Edmundo Gonzalez is the real president, the man who Maduro defeated. So I just wanted to point that out. And also the fact that Venezuela
Right.
is under attack because it works on behalf of the people. If Maduro was a corrupt dictator, he'd be having dinner at the White House with Trump. He wouldn't be in jail. I wanted to bring up something else. For months we were told that there was this cartel of the suns, and anybody who was even a cursory observer knew that this was made up, that this cartel existed. Maduro was the head of this cartel. And then magically, there's no mention of it in the indictment. There have been some mentions of that, but I think it's important for us to point out how the corporate media work with the state in shaping these narratives and shaping public opinion.
This normalized, this paved the way, this for this barbarity today, that the U.S., and the media goes along with it. They don't ch they, the mainstream bourgeois legacy media, and it gets echoed in left media. These same, even if they have a little bit more nuance, these same narratives get recycled there. Also, and going back to that, join an organization. There's a great Linktree, Hands Off Venezuela. I really urge folks to look at that website. They have a lot of great resources. It's really important to be active in an organization. If you're in a union, push to get a statement or a resolution passed condemning the war on Venezuela, calling for the freedom and release of President Maduro and his wife, First Lady Celia Flores, to end the sanctions, the genocidal sanctions regime. Stay focused.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Corina. And that was Corina Mullen providing analysis on the U.S. attack on Venezuela and on how we must organize as anti-imperialists against this U.S. aggression.
And that's all we've got time for today. We just heard an interview between Margaret Kimberly and Corina Mullins about the United States imperialist assault on Venezuela and the kidnapping of Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro and First Lady Celia Flores. Thanks to Black Agenda Radio for this recording. If you'd like to hear more from Black Agenda Radio, you can find their work on SoundCloud. Search for Black Agenda Radio. You can also follow their publications at blackagendareport.com. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network, with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. Music for Accent of Women was written and produced by George Kanjure. If you want to hear the show again or any of our previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Go to the Accent of Women page and follow the links to this week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write to us at accentofwomen@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or like our page on Facebook. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm Nita, and we look forward to your company again next week.